Hey, welcome to Larry Reedy's America, the Whiskey Podcast. This is our fourth episode, and I hope everybody's enjoying it. We're certainly happy to have listeners and join one of my favorite subjects, it's whiskey. And I have Steve Ollier back for the second time, and we're going to do another whiskey tasting, a blind test. He'll taste three whiskeys. We'll grade each one of them, and at the end of it, we'll talk about what the brand was, and then he'll have a fourth whiskey, which he will not be grading on the air, but it's every third episode we have. Mike Spreckelson will be on the third episode, and he will be grading that fourth whiskey, which Steve will have had the same one, and Greg Dierberg would have had the same one also. And then we can compare notes on how each one fared on the fourth one. So anyway, without further ado, Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm already hitting the first one.
So I'm doing great. Okay. So you're on the nose now. And again, for people new to whiskey, when you're tasting whiskey, obviously, it's always neat, and I'm not used. I still can't get used to calling it neat, because when I was a young man, if you didn't want any ice in your whiskey, you would say you wanted it up, and in other words, for straight up. And I don't know where the neat came into this, but for me to get to full flavors out of a whiskey, and it usually takes a second and third sip for me, and I'm strictly a sipper. I drink about 4 ounces a night, and that's it. I enjoy good whiskey. I think there's a lot of whiskeys that are better than other ones, but I've never had a whiskey that I poured down the drain. So it's and for your education, the nose or the smell of the whiskey, they're all different. And everybody's palate's different. Everybody's smell's different. And you're going to find that people, no matter, you have good days and bad days with your taste buds and with the nose, the finish. A lot of people call it the burn, but the finish is the lingering effect in your throat, which, again, you should be able to smell the different flavors and really, really enjoy it. A lot of people that are new to whiskey, I would not recommend into going a higher proof. You work up to that, and maybe something like Basil Hayden, that's 80 proof, might be a good choice to start. Okay, let's see how Steve's doing. Are you done with the first one?
I am.
Okay. What do you think nose-wise?
I thought the nose was really good. Maybe a 7. Sweet. Very sweet. Candied nuts, maybe. Baking spices. Just very sweet nose. Came through nicely, and that led into the palate, which I thought, again, was sweet. First taste, I was like, man, not much going on. By the third sip, I thought, it's pretty good. It's nice and sweet. It seems a little lower proof, which is okay, too. Didn't burn a whole lot, which led to the finish, which I gave maybe a mid-finish, because the palate on the taste and the finish was really good. The length was kind of short, mm-hmm. but I thought overall it was a nice little sipper.
So, all three?
7.76.
Yeah. Okay, let me write this down.
Seven.
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, overall, I thought it was a nice little bourbon.
I like that a lot, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to start on number two. And by the way, I hope everybody who wants to get into whiskey, or really if you like whiskey, and whether you drink it in mixed drinks or on the rocks, or you drink it neat or up, there's so many good ones out there. And just don't think about the big brands, because I'm telling you, some of these small distilleries are just incredible. Indiana, Nevada, Colorado. I mean, they're just some really, really good stuff. And you don't have to pay an arm and a leg to get a good whiskey. For me, if I was, and I have to ask Steve that, because I'm not a mixed drink drinker, and I'd like to get Steve's opinion on what's a good thing for, like, a Manhattan's very popular, old fashions are very popular, and if I was drinking like an old fashioned, I would probably drink a rye old fashioned, but I don't know if the better ryes make that much of a difference. I think Steve could, after we get his number two tasting done, let's talk to him about that. So where are we at on two?
I'm on my third sip, so almost there.
And by the way, when you're drinking, if you're testing a whiskey, just remember that first sip, you're really just getting your palate used to that. After you do that, take a minute or so, and I guarantee you the second and third sip, it's going to taste totally different. It's the first sip, you might say, boy, that's kind of rough. By the second and third, you'll be tickled to death.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing how that happens. Yeah. That happened with this one. That happened with this one.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, by the third sip, it's like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
First of all, in this one, I think the color is amazing.
Yes.
You know, that's not one of our grading criteria, but I thought the color was fantastic. Nose, I gave it a 7. I thought it was a really sweet nose. Mm-hmm. The first thing that popped into my mind was like Bananas Foster, because you get that banana with the, you know, a burnt banana, it's good. Palate, again, sweet, nutty. I like it. I'd say a 7 on the palate as well. And then finish, I think it's got a median finish again. I'd probably give that a 7 as well. Maybe a 7 across the board on this one.
I like this one so much that I might have even given it more.
A little higher, yeah.
I mean, it's...
I'm waiting for that one that just like dazzles. And me. I think you'll 8 or 9, you know.
You're going to be shocked to find out what it is.
Yeah, I really do like this one, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't want. It's like I don't want to give it too high, because then I find one that I just is amazing, and I like. Wow.
Well, see, that's the problem. And the neat thing, the reason I said you ought to write this stuff down, I think when we have about 12 episodes from. Each one of the number fours, I want everybody to pick their favorite. And then on all of your testings of the different episodes, that would give each of you 4 episodes. Well, I'd like to see what's your favorite.
Everything I've tasted so far, this is...
Yeah. I think you're going to be, you're going to be pleasantly surprised, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, this one's good.
So, 7 across.
Yeah, and I could have gone higher. But like I said, I don't want to go too high because all of a sudden I'm going to taste something that's like.
Well, and again, if you make some notes on it, because it's hard to remember, you know, like 2 months from now, just why you picked a 7. But it's the first two. I've had both of them recently, mm-hmm. and I really like both of them.
I love that second one. Yeah.
And so number 3 coming up. Mm-hmm. And anyway, back to the audience on the tasting thing. I don't know how it works in Ohio because of the, you know, most are state stores in Ohio. And I don't know if they have tastings or not, but in Kentucky, they're not state stores, and I'm not familiar with the Kentucky laws or anything, if they have tastings. But I would presume that they would have tastings, and the same with Illinois. And we've got several listeners from California and Texas, and I'm really not aware, and South and Michigan, Wisconsin, a lot of listeners there. I don't know how this other states are, but Indiana's great, and there's no charge for, like, when Batesville Liquor Store has a tasting, there's no charge. You come down, you have a couple drinks, little tastes. Usually they have very interesting guests. Occasionally, friends of mine that have crossed the line 1524 podcast, they've done several podcasts there. In fact, that's how I got interested in it. They had me as a guest 3 times, and I kind of got hooked on it because it's a fun thing to do. And I don't have any advertising, I don't edit. So this is not a money thing. This is just a fun thing that I enjoy doing in my later years. Let's put it that way. So this number 3.
On the nose, I didn't get a ton. I'd say a 4 on the nose. I just didn't pick up a whole lot. Palate, it kept getting better as I took sips.
Yeah.
You know, initially, based on the nose, I just didn't, you know. By the third sip, I was saying, it's probably about a 7.
7 on that.
Yeah. It's got a great taste. Finish, I think, is very short. Starts out nice and sweet. Nice finish, but then it just
dies. It just disappears. It's
gone.
Yeah, I agree there.
But the beginning, it's like, well, that's good. But yeah. Then it's gone.
The palate's the best part of it.
It is, definitely. I'd say about a 5 on the finish, maybe, just because that beginning is so good.
Okay.
And you asked about cocktails before.
Yes.
I think some of the best things about the cocktails is not just the bourbon or the rye. And what I think it's the accoutrements, like the cherries. What cherry you put into it? What candied orange you put into it? You know, what you put around the rim? You know, the oil from that orange or whatever. You know, because there's a lot of good. When I make a cocktail, I want to put a rye in it because I want to taste the bourbon a little bit. If you put a bourbon in there, a good one, it tends to disappear a little bit because of everything else you're putting.
Well, see, that's
the sweet syrup, the bitters, whatever you're putting in, it disappears.
See, that's what I would. To me, if I was drinking a mixed drink, and I know people are going to disagree, I would buy the house, house whiskey or house bourbon or house rye.
A little bit with everything else.
Yeah.
But for me, when I do a cocktail, I look for the cherries, that orange, because, you know, that's going to set it off differently.
Yeah.
And of course, if I'm out, I look for that bartender who's doing some flair. You know, you got the ice and stuff that's making the stuff go off or whatever, you know, the flair. Yeah. When you're out, that makes you pay that little extra money. But if I make it at home, yeah.
Well, I might have told you this, but since this is a relatively new podcast, this is only our fourth one, I've got to tell the audience this. Years ago, my wife and I and another couple were in Destin, Florida, and we went to a high-end Mexican restaurant. It was very well done. Food was kind of for gringos because I had a really loaded with hot sauce. It was too bland for me. But anyway, when we sat down, it was a very, very warm day. It was in the 90s. So we sat down in a nice air conditioner, and the waiter comes up to me, and he said, what are you having to drink? I said, well, I think I'll have a margarita. And I don't usually drink margaritas, but on a hot day, pretty good. So he said, would you like our house margarita? And I said, well, what is special about your house? So he explained to me this wonderful tequila that you just can't live without. And in a margarita, all I taste is a margarita mix. I don't do salt, and I don't do crushed ice. I just do ice in the margarita. And I said, well, how much is this wonderful margarita? And he said, well, it's $100. I said, for what? He said, for a glass. I said, how big's the glass? Oh, it's just a regular glass. I said, are you out of your something mind? I said, I at the time, I think I was in my 70s. I said, you know, my wife's here. I'm not trying to pick up some chick. I said, what is wrong with you? He said, well, you know what? There's a lot of guys come in here trying to pick up chicks. So anyway, I got the cheapest tequila they had in a margarita, and I think it cost me $8 or something like that.
And you still went home with a wonderful lady and had a good time.
Yeah. Well, you know, but even the, and again, I'm not a martini drinker or anything. I got so drunk on gin in a service one time, I can't even look at gin. Uh-huh. But in a martini, if they say, I want it real dry, basically, they just want a splash. They want gin.
Yeah, the gin vodka.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
And so why even bother with the mix?
Yeah. If you're going to make a thing like that, you don't need something high price, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, like I like dirty martinis, vodka, and olive juice. I like a dirty martini.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you don't need to use something good. You need something crisp, something that's been distilled several times, so you know, it's not going to burn you when you dip in.
Yeah, well, I'll never mention it, but my crazy story that went with the gin drunk is not good.
Not good, huh?
Yeah. So anyhow, okay, let's get to number one. And I love this. It's an 80 proofer at Redbreast Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
If there's certain days that I would rather have light alcohol content, it's a smooth, smooth drinker.
Yeah, I agree.
And this next one, I'm really hooked on.
Uh-huh.
Rattle and Snap.
Okay, yeah.
I really, really like that. This is a Tennessee whiskey. It's not very expensive, is it? I can't.
The regular one is not. They've got an Asian one that's pricey, but
yeah,
and great people. If you have a chance to go down there, Wally Dance plays.
Well, I was at the tasting when Wally was there. Neat guy.
And if you ever have a chance to go down to Gethsemane, Kentucky, outside of Bardstown, they've got a facility there that's out of this world. They got a concert venue. They got bed and breakfast. They've got a little place where you get food. It's awesome.
For some reason, and I know they're the Monk's Road is their big one. Uh-huh. And I like the Monk's Road, but boy, I could go to that Rattlesnap lot.
And that's stuff that Wally sourced while he was working a previous job before he started his new one.
So. Yeah. And see, the thing is, Rattlesnap, it's 94 proof. Uh-huh. It's not real heavy proof, but it's
good. It's nutty. It's good.
I like
that color is amazing.
Okay. Number three. And nothing, I was not surprised with your, how did you rate number three? Wait, I didn't write it down.
Nose was a four. I didn't care much for the nose at all. Palate, I thought was okay. It was a seven. And then I went down to a five on the finish. The finish started nice and sweet, but then it just gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. So it's like, where'd it go?
Well, this here is Caribou Crossing.
So another Canadian.
Yeah, Canadian whiskey. Yeah. And unless you're into some of the whistle picks.
It's like Canadian Blends. It's got that little thing.
It's short finish, but again, good taste. Yeah. One of the neatest bottles ever. Oh, yeah.
Like I said, the Canadian Blends, because it's got that big caribou on top.
Yeah, oh, I mean, it's great. And so,
the taste was awesome, but the finish just...
It's something... If you don't want a heavy alcohol, that's a good drink.
It is what it is. It's going to be nice and smooth.
And I don't do you remember what those price? I can't remember. It's
actually, it's not bad. It's not, $65-$70.
That's what I thought. If you can get it.
If you can get it. Yeah. It's like Bland's. It's rare and hard to get. Yeah. Maybe even more so than Bland's, really.
The neat thing is you had 280 proofs and a 94 proof.
Yeah.
And now you can do number four, and then we'll talk about this off air, and we'll compare later. So anyway, I hope everybody's enjoying this. We're having a good time here. And one thing that's really kind of neat, and I hope my grandson, who's graduates Mississippi State this coming year. His part-time job, he's a radio announcer, does music for the station in Mississippi, and he loves it, and I think he's got a bright future with it. He's really into the sports, and when he graduates, I just hope he can latch on to a nice radio station and do what he wants to do. But and if you want to ever want to listen to him, my Facebook page, Larry Reedy, it's R-E-I-D-Y. He just posted a little video clip of him at work at the radio station. So pretty interesting. Nice kid. Okay. Okay, we're not going to talk about number four. Steve's finishing that up. And we're getting close to the end. I want to ask, when he's done this, I want to ask Steve a couple more questions about the various liquors and the spirits, I should say, because by the way, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Or wait a minute, we might be on St. Patrick's Day.
No, that's March.
But this here is going to air.
Oh, this is okay.
I forgot. I pre-record these because you never know what's going to come up. Let's see what. Let me see what date this is. This is going to be airing on February 22nd. Oh yeah, we're ahead. It'll be airing March 8th. So on St. Patrick's Day, there's some great beers. I've never been into the too much some of the craft beers I like, but just I still like Pabst Blue Ribbon, but I like Heineken, Modelo, Pabst Blue Guinness, Ribbon. All of them, Yingling.
nothing wrong with a good PBR. So,
One thing I wanted to ask you about, and because again, I'm not a vodka or gin drinker. How long has this vodka thing been going on with, like, watermelon vodka, all these different flavors?
A long time. It's been going on.
Really?
Yeah. And it's gaining in popularity. I mean, people love them. People look for them all the time.
Do they just drink it on ice? Or how
there's a lot of cocktails out there you can do with them, but they do. Like vanilla, whipped, they do a lot of different, they drink it on ice, they'll drink it straight, they'll drink it with cocktails.
Oh yeah, but I mean, if you've already got the flavor, would you make a vodka martini with it?
Like if you got a chocolate or a espresso, something like that. Yeah.
There's some
really good espresso vodkas that make a good martini. But yeah, vodka, the biggest thing now is tequilas. I mean, tequilas are huge.
I know. I've talked to you about that before.
Oh, it's amazing.
Tara tried to talk me, well, she talked me into buying an $80 bottle, and I drank every sip of it. I still don't get it. I mean,
but yeah, that's the biggest thing right now. I mean, there's so many tequilas, so many celebrity endorsed tequilas, and it's good. I mean, I'm really into extra añejo. I like bourbon.
Yeah.
So those extra añejo tequilas appeal to me because they're aged in bourbon barrels for so long, and they're good. I never thought of tequila as a sipping, you know, spirit. Boy, it is.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably try it again sometime. But it's amazing, and I didn't count them, but when I was in there a few days ago, it looked like between the 1.75 liter and the small bottles, you look like you hit about 60 cases of Tito's on display. Oh,
ton of Tito's, yeah. Well, and part of that is we just buy in bulk, but Tito's goes.
I mean, it's wife drinks, and that's cheap too.
It's cheap. It's distilled many times, so it's got a good flavor. It's clean. Yeah. That's what you look for in a vodka. Even if you're putting that into a Bloody Mary or whatever, you want something clean, so when you're drinking it, you don't get that aftertaste.
Yeah, but isn't Tito's the biggest seller in the country now?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I thought so, yeah.
And it's in Texas, and yeah, you know, it's an American. People look for American-made stuff, so.
Oh, it is American-made?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Down in Texas, yeah. And well, they support dogs, which is important to me as well.
So, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
They're big into animals. You'll see that on that big display we got. You'll see their shelf talkers where they're big and they donate to animal shelters and stuff. So.
Okay. Well, guess what? We're going to wrap this up. We're pushing 30 minutes, and I said we're going to try to keep all the whiskey episodes to 30 minutes. I can't do it with the other ones because most of the guests have some really interesting stories to talk about.
I don't think you'll keep Greg Dierberg to 30 minutes either. I'm sorry, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Greg will be a longer than that.
Well, anyway, Steve, thanks for being here.
I loved it.
And we're going to close it out with the national anthem. And I hope everyone enjoyed this podcast. And I'll talk to you next week. Talk to you on Monday, Larry Reeves America, with an interesting guest. And I'll talk to you on the up-and-coming Thursday. We'll talk with you again. So thanks again for listening. God bless you, and God bless America.